Good morning. Welcome again in the lovely name of Jesus. He's my best friend. Is he yours? Is he the one that you talk to every day and get direction for your life? We'd like to continue our study on the Word of God. And as the brothers are handing out the paperwork for this session, again, want to remind you or to kind of go over the burden of intent that I have shared with you, I think, pretty well every session. My prayer has been that, has been for a number of months as I was preparing for this, that God will instill a burden in your heart to study the Word of God. We are lazy people by nature, and we do not take the time to study the way that we should. I've done praying about it, and some of you have come to me and said that you've been spoken to, that you're spending more time in the Word of God. And I just want to, I will never know the result of these sessions. God will only know that, but my prayer has been that you will have a love and a passion for God's Word. Again, the definition that I've used here for love is a connection that helps us to find meaning and purpose in life. And the passion is to be acted upon, putting it into action on a daily walk. So if you're going to have love for the Word of God, it's one thing to love it, but it's another thing to have a passion for it. And when you have a passion for it, you're going to act it out, and you're not only going to act it out or daily walk, but you will also exemplify it and tell others about it. It's amazing how people can get all excited about something. Maybe it's a new product that is for sale, and they go around and everyone they meet, they want to tell you about this new product. Maybe it's something that is healthy for you, and they will spend time talking all about it, and you know the next time you see them, you know exactly what they're going to talk about because it's their passion, right? But when it comes to the Word of God, may we have a passion that's what we want to talk about when we get together. It doesn't mean we can't talk about farming occasionally or sowing or something like that, but our main focus should be on encouraging each other in the Word of God. Let's sing our theme song. Everyone please stand. Let's sing that. And then after the song, remain standing for prayer. And I'd like for you to sing this song with enthusiasm. I'm not like Earl. I'm not going to stand up here to try to get you to go. I just marvel at Earl, his ability to be able to sing tenor and then bass and then alto and soprano. He's back and forth. I told him, I said, brother, you have a gift, and I see you just pouring that gift out upon these young people. So I want you to sing this song with enthusiasm without me having to do this, okay? Let's sing.
Bring to the Bible, bring to the Bible.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, you're such a great God. You're high and lofty. You're the Almighty. And yet through human men that were inspired to write the Word of God, today we have the Bible in our hands. My prayer has been that you will continue or will create a desire in hearts here this week for the precious Word of God. We looked at a few subjects, and Lord, this is the plan last session that I will be able to speak to these young people. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to do it with clarity, because we will never meet exactly the same way again. We could try to have another meeting in a month or two, but some would maybe not be able to be here. But it's because of your divine providence that we are here today. Even those that maybe came because it was expected of them to come. Father, we're here for a reason and for a purpose. And Lord, as we look at the subject today about the Word of God in the light of judgment, someday judgment will be reality. And I just pray that I understand that there's difference of opinions of how exactly everything is going to happen in the future. There's many different scriptures, and sometimes when we look at it, we have differences of opinion of exactly how it's going to happen and take place. But my burden is to just share the importance, not only our relationship with you, but also our obedience to the Word of God. Also has an impact on the future judgment. And Lord, I just thank you for the Word of God that we can preach from it. It never changes. It's always the same. And again, we ask for your continued presence, and may you be lifted up, because you are worthy all our glory and praise. We commit this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you I did not get to know personally, but I want you to know that I've learned to love you. And I try every time that I stand up to testify or to preach or to teach, to share what God has laid on my heart as if it will be the last time that I will ever preach. There's going to come a time when it will be the last message, if God tarries and he calls me home. And I don't know when that time is, but by God's grace, I'm prepared for the future. And I know that there's sorrow, and I have told my family different times. I know, and I've told we have four daughters, and I've told my four daughters throughout different times, and my wife, that when that time comes, that you will be filing by my casket or coffin. I know there will be a hurt, but it's okay. I'm ready to meet the Lord. And as we look at this subject of the Day of Judgment, I don't care what you think about yourself, that somehow you're going to talk your way out of it if you are not following God, or if you have no sin in your life, that somehow you're going to somehow get by with something that you might think that God is going to overlook and usher you into eternity. I want you to know that God is a just God, and we have the Word of God to pattern our life after, and also to be able to distinguish whether our deeds are good and evil. I was blessed to see the responses the other night. And I don't necessarily gauge every message or gauge messages based on the response of an invitation. And I was blessed to be able to see souls that are willing to be honest, as we've been hearing, and to acknowledge your need. And I want to, as we go through this, the Word of God in relation to the judgment, I want you to ponder yourself or ask the question, am I ready to stand before God, the great God that created the universe, the great God that spoke the world into existence, the great God that also gives us the plan of salvation or has given us salvation through Christ? You will someday stand face to face with the reality that God is a holy God, and that you need to make sure that your life is in tune with God, because there is a future. You're either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. There is no option between the two. And I would like to think of it, especially after we go home, that the future of all your lives, I would love to think that all of you are going to be in heaven. But we need to face reality. There is a possibility some of you that are not right with God could harden your heart and not be ready for the day of judgment. I would love to tell you that all my friends that I was in school with or that I went to church with, I wish I could tell you that all my friends today are serving the Lord. I wish I could tell you that, but I can't. So as we go through this about the Word of God, we want to talk about your relationship with Christ and also one's obedience to the Word of God. Now, I did make one change. If you notice the title, The Word of God in Relation to Judgment, if you look on your sheet from the first session that I gave out with all the five sessions, I took a word final judgment out of it. And the reason I've done that, and if you're a student of eschatology, you will understand why I took that out with what I have to say next. I realize that in a group this size, there is differences of opinion or differences of understanding of eschatology and the future things that are going to happen. And I know my age group that when it came to the study of eschatology, some of us in my era of time have a tendency of shying away from the book of Revelations because of what we have seen in some of the older folks in our circles that have differences of opinion on eschatology to the point that they could hardly talk to each other and developed an attitude against each other because they did not agree on the subject of eschatology. And as a young person, as I observed that, it created almost a negative feeling towards the subject of even studying eschatology or to study the Word of God in the book of Revelations. So I had a tendency of wanting to shy away from the book of Revelations, but then I saw some verses in there that told me if I read it, and I'm going to say try to understand it, there's a blessing that's poured out upon God's people that study the book of Revelation. So the book of Revelation is a tremendous book. Now, the word judgment is actually spelled different on my title here than it is in the Bible. Who can tell me what's different about how I have it spelled here and then how it's spelled in the Bible or even in American English? Anyone? There's an E. According to the English dictionary, the E is omitted, and also in your scriptures, so some of the scriptures that we're going to look at today, the E is omitted. Now, I use the British English. The British English actually accepts both ways of spelling the word judgment. American English just says without the E. But I like, and I'm not British, but I like the British term, or the British spelling of this because you actually see the whole word judge. Okay? And when we talk about judgment, it's talking about that there's a judge that is involved with the mint. So judgment is something that's reality. There's a judge involved with it. An opening thought, with the passing of each minute, we are all a minute closer to eternity. You're closer to eternity now than you were when you came in at 10:30 to start the service. We're closer to eternity. We're closer to the end of our life. You might not think that, but it's reality. We're living in the time of the dying. We're living in the time of those that our bodies frail and we die. This time of the year in Pennsylvania, every year they have what they call hunting season. And when I was 18, there was something that took place during the hunting season of that year that every year at this particular time, I think of this incident that took place. As I mentioned earlier, I was not a hunter, but a lot of my friends would go deer hunting. And it was a very Monday morning when the season was opened. I think it's the Monday after Thanksgiving. My friends went hunting. And at that time, I was 18, and my wife and I were courting. And I received a phone call. We didn't have the modern cell phones or even cell phones at that time to communicate. But I got a phone call at work that day that told me that one of my friends was shot while deer hunting. And my next question was, how bad is he hurt? And my friend that called me said Reynold was his name. He's no longer living. Just a few days before, we had been together as a youth group. And at that time, my heart was not right with the Lord. And if I understand it right, just the Sunday or so before his death, he had gotten on his knees and confessed his sins before God and made things right. But if that would have been me, I would have been hurled into an eternity with the evil deeds of my life against me. So with the passing of each minute, we all have a minute closer to eternity. And you might be sitting here not right with God today, and you might be saying, John Michael, you are trying to scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to wake you up, to make sure that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that if that was the case for you, that you would be ready for eternity. It was an accident. He got into some crossfire. Multiple people were shooting at the same deer, and the bullet went in his back, and basically out through his lungs. He said a few words to the friend that was with him, or friends. I mean, there was other hunters too. They don't really know today who would have fired the shot. Nowadays, they would be able to figure out which gun the bullet came from and all of that. But multiple had fired towards that same object. Hurled into eternity, just like that. He also was courting. His girlfriend lost her dad, her brother, and her boyfriend in a matter of 2 years' time. I think I'm right on the time frame there. But I share that to share this with you, that we never know when our life is ending. And I know you come from many different areas. You have your own dreams, your own visions, a vision of what you want for your life. I just want to remind you that we all or closer to eternity than we were 1 minute ago. Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to include verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now, I told you that I'm not trying to scare you into a relationship with Christ. I just want to challenge you as a father and as a grandfather that life is not a game. Some of you probably know how to play Monopoly or games like that. And if you lose out, I'm not good at Monopoly. I was never good at money. Trying to buy something, and yet some other individuals can take material things or money, and it just seems like everything their fingers go to, it turns to cash for them. For me, it's not that way. And that's okay. But if you lose in Monopoly and you're all finished, everything gets put together and back in the box. And you can start all over. But when it comes to your life, your walk, it doesn't go into a box. Yes, maybe your body goes into a casket or a coffin, into a box. But your life doesn't go in the box and then you get it back out again and start the game all over fresh again. Your life, when it's completed, it's completed. If you die as a sinner, you remain as a sinner. If you die as a saint, you remain as the saint of God. Now, Paul is writing to Christian people, and again, I mentioned there's probably a variety of opinion exactly on eschatology. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, I take my Greek and my Hebrew, here would be Greek, my lexicons, and when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, it would have the idea of appearing before the... let me start over. In 1 Corinthians 5:10, that blank there, or there's that line, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And when I looked up the Greek meaning of the judgment seat of Christ, would have the idea of a raised platform, similar to this platform here with steps, leading towards something that is important or something that's going to take place in the judgment seat of Christ. And again, the terminology, the judgment seat of Christ versus the one standing before the throne of God, like we will see here shortly in the book of Revelation. Again, my focus is not going to be on eschatology. My focus is going to be on the importance of the Word of God for the deciding factor of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil. What is the deciding factor? Where do we go to find out if our deeds were good or whether our deeds are bad? I appreciate in our circles the importance of emphasizing the new birth and getting right with God and having a relationship with Him. But I am afraid sometimes we do not teach and encourage the obedience to the Word of God, that also is important. Not only is our relationship, but our obedience to the Word of God to know whether our deeds are good and evil. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You have an issue with your brother? Are you at naught with your brother? Are you at naught with your sister? Is your relationship being severed? Brother Tim has been teaching and admonishing us about having a tremendous relationship with God and tremendous relationship. I want you to know that if you are struggling with a relationship and you might think it's all the other party's fault, and you might be thinking that they are someday going to have to give an account for their deeds, I want to remind you that you both are going to stand before God and give an account for your deeds, whether you feel the other party is right or not. We need to take responsibility for our own actions. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that line there, right in, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now turn to Revelation chapter 20. Some would feel that Revelation chapter 20 has to do with those that have remained faithful through the thousand-year reign, and also those that the church has been raptured before this. The church has already been judged. Then there's others that would agree with that, that would say the rapture did place, but when it comes to this final judgment or the end judgment, that every living person that ever lived will be at this judgment. And again, I am not preaching a message on eschatology. You might be thinking, why not? Well, I'll be honest with you. I always try to be honest. I dove into this, and the pond was deeper than what I thought, okay? Because the more I dove into it, the more I realized that there's a lot of things in the book of Revelation I don't understand. And I tossed and turned a little bit last night after I went to bed, and I just got up in the morning, and God just said, or spoke to my heart, just share what you know. Don't try to make it look like you know more than what you do know. So that's why I'm very careful how I'm approaching the subject of eschatology. So hopefully you can respect me for that. Revelation chapter 20, begin reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was now found no place for them. So we know that the heaven and earth fled away. There was no place for them. So there wasn't anything really left except the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The reality of giving an account for our deeds, whether they were good or evil, is we saw that in also in Corinthians and also in Romans. And now we see it here again in Revelation. So I think we can all agree that our life, that our deeds are important, not just our relationship with Christ. And I want you to know I am not minimizing the relationship with Christ. It is important, but I want to again stress the importance of obedience to the Word of God. Jesus made it clear that if we love Him, we are going to keep His commandments. Now, the word book or books here is plural. It doesn't say how many. And in that line after that, you can write plural. We do know that there's more than one because of the plural form of the word books. And I would like to propose to you that these three books, one is the book of life, which we are very clear on. It says it here, it is the book of life. And it also appears that there is a book that considers the deeds of men. And we will look at that. And then, let's say there's three books. It doesn't necessarily, there's three. It's just that the books is in the term, or plural form. It doesn't say whether it's two or three or four or five. but I would like to look at it and propose to you that we have three books. The one is the book of life, the other one is the book of deeds, and the other one is the Word of God. Because how else does one know whether some deeds are good or bad? It has to do with the Word of God that says whether your deeds are good or bad. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean, and I know we're full of the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that we have all the knowledge of understanding what's good and bad separate from the Word of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, but the way we know the truth is by studying God's Word, His written Word, His inspired Word of God. Let's talk about the book of life. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. There's a lot of things happening prior to this. The devils were subject to the disciples, and they were excited about that. And then in verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what was important. Not whether the spirits were subject unto you, or that you had the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and to have power over the enemy. That is the result of someone whose name is written in the book of heaven, the book of life, and that their names are written in heaven, but they were taking satisfaction or were rejoicing that the evil powers were subject unto them. Their focus had gotten off of what God wanted them to focus on, or what Jesus wanted them to focus on. He said, it's okay to rejoice, but most of all, rejoice because your names are written in heaven, in the book of life. So we know very clearly that the book of life is one of the books. The next, every man judged according to his works. And that line you can put down, deeds or actions. Now let's look at the book of deeds. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He was talking before this about good trees bringing forth good fruit and evil trees bring forth evil fruit, or corrupt trees bring forth evil fruit. And he says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. If you want to know if your deeds are good or bad, just search your life in light of Scripture. If you are involved in things that the Bible says is sin, then you're sinning. You can be here as a person that's saved and have sin in your life. You need to take care of it. I do not believe that 1 hour you're saved, 1 hour you're not. And you might be serving the Lord and have sin in your life, but God wants to deal with that sin. And where the cutoff point is, I let that into the hands of God. I am not justifying sin when I say that. But it's not like someone said to me that you drop a penny out of your pocket and pick it back up and put it in again, and then it falls out again. That is not the resemblance of salvation. Salvation comes with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we have sinned, we will be convicted because the Holy Spirit is in our life and will convict us of that sin. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, verse 36, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Even your words are recorded. Every idle word, and I could spend time on all three of these books and take you to some other verses, but there appears to be a book of deeds. So what determines, I have that in the next question, what determines if the deeds are good or bad? Let's turn to John chapter 12. And Jesus makes it very clear that even the very words that he spoke will be used against them in judgment. John chapter 12, verse 38. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken the same day shall judge him in the last day. Not only is it God's words in red in your Bible, but the Word of God, remember we shared with you that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. And I was asked a question in our text verses, and I did not read that. Well, hopefully I'll try to remember to read, or in Timothy there, in 2 Timothy. The question was asked, which books of the Bible were written at that time, and I'm not going to give you the books, but at least 3/4 of the New Testament was written at that time when it mentions about all scriptures given by inspiration of God, when Paul is writing to Timothy. So as I look at the day of judgment, or the day of reckoning, there's two aspects of judgments. One has to do with one's relationship to Christ, and then one's obedience to the Word of God. And again, I propose, and I keep using this word propose, because I realize there can be differences, and I want to be respectful, and yet at the same time, I do want to share with you what I believe. I propose to you, as I look at these verses in Revelation chapter 20, that the children of God are standing here, not necessarily because of their deeds being, it's not because their deeds are evil, but their deeds are good. And you have those that have evil deeds that will find themselves in eternal fire, eternal damnation. There does appear that when it comes to the day of looking at the whether you have good deeds or bad deeds, that there is differences of rewards given to those based on their deeds. And there would also appear to be that there is differences of punishment to those that have evil deeds. And Jesus makes mention of that. If someone knows the Word of God and rejects it, there's a greater condemnation or greater sentence placed upon them than the sins of those of Sodom and Gomorrah. So there does appear to be difference in rewards versus that, and also the differences when it comes to the evil deeds of their punishment. So there's two aspects of judgment: one's relationship to Christ, and one's obedience to the Word of God. As one's knowledge is increased, the more the accountability. I mentioned that one time in a message, and a young man came to me afterwards, and he kind of jokingly said to me, he said, the reason I don't study the Bible is because I don't want to be more accountable. Because he said, you said the more accountable, or the more I study, the more accountable I have become. Well, I said, are you aware the Scripture also teaches that we are accountable for things we could have learned, or the sin of omission of not doing something that we know that is good? You heard the phrase, ignorance is bliss, right? No, not when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be the treasure of our heart, the treasure of our soul. It's the foundation. I know the blood of Jesus Christ is the foundation for salvation, but the foundation for God's people to remain pure and holy in this sinful world is the foundation of the Word of God. You want to know what's right, and you want to know what's wrong? Study your Bible. Find it. It will give you direction. And it'll make you different. It might even make you different from some of your friends that are, quote, church members and are just going along for, quote, the free ride, as some people would have stated. Again, coming back to that question I asked you the other day, when was the last time you made a change in your life because of something you read in the Scriptures? Read the Word of God. it comes alive. Lay all other books aside. Like I said, they have their place. But first of all, make sure you study the Word of God and you hear from God. I had also mentioned in one of the sessions that I'm so blessed that Jesus is going to be the judge. And I'm going to show and tell you why. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath seen him. First of all, I would like to mention that the Son is equal here in honor to the Father. Jesus is divine, was divine, and also was human, as we saw earlier this week in Scripture. But the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men shall honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. So there seems to be equal, right? If you honor the Father, you need to honor the Son. If you honor the Son, you're honoring the Father. There's equality between the two. And I have it down there, another a typo or a verse that I did not add. Let me find the verse that I'm looking for, where it mentions that He is the Son of Man. Who can help me? Okay, that's the verse I was looking for. In my memory, I was thinking 29, and I was down at 29, and I'm saying something isn't holding out here. But 27, let's read that. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That changes the picture a little bit. He's equal with God, but now he's going to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. He's human. He was human. He was tempted in all points as like as we are. And I appreciate it last evening when Brother Dale mentioned about the Lord Jesus Christ being the mediator or the intercessor for us as His people. That He goes to the Father and says to the Father, there is brother, or there's John Michael. I know he's struggling. I know he's going through something. Let me deal with him. Let me take care of it. Because I understand what he's going through, because I was tempted in all points as like as he. Are you following? He is divine, and yet he was human. And he is able to see at the day of judgment, and he is not going to condone sin. Don't take it that I am saying that he's going to condone sin at the day of judgment. He is not. But he's going to be a righteous judge because he understands the divine and he understands humanity. And that blesses my heart to know that my Lord Jesus, my Savior, the one that has died for me, understands everything about me. He was tempted in all points like as we. And again, in the last couple years, a young man came to me when I mentioned that after service, and he said, we're faced with more temptations today than what Jesus ever faced. And I said to him, why do you say that? The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He said, well, Jesus was not faced with the technology we're faced with today. And I said, I do agree with that. But I said, I want you to know the root of the temptation. It's true, he didn't have the technology, but the root of that temptation was still the same root of the temptation that he was tempted with. And when you're faced with temptation, don't try to fight it yourself and say, I'm going to work through this temptation myself. Turn to the one that has already been tempted and understands your whole situation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how it is when we are going through something. 6 years ago, I lost my father because of cancer. His body just deteriorated and he died. And before that, I could not relate to someone that lost their father because I had my father. I would go to viewings and I would shake their hands and say that God bless, our prayers are with you. I'll say this right now, if you ever shake hands at a funeral or shake hands to a family, don't stand there and say a bunch of words because they won't remember what you all said anyway. Just a firm handshake, God bless you, I'm praying for you, and then go on. I think sometimes we also turn our... I'm going down a rabbit trail here, am I not? I think sometimes our viewings and our funerals have turned into be a reunion rather than facing the reality of death that someone's loved one passed away. I'm not saying we can't smile and we can't get to know friends that we, I mean, meet friends that we haven't seen for a while. If I tell enough of people this, they'll remember it at for my viewing. But some of these lines go so slow, and it becomes a little bit of a pet peeve of mine that I told my wife. I said, I think on my casket, I'm going to have a little recording that comes on every so often in my own voice that'll say, please keep the line moving. Now, if I tell enough of people that, I don't have to do that. You're going to remember that. Now, how did I get there? The reality of death and judgment. He was human, just like you and I. And I was talking about temptations. And being able to... This is where I was. I need to get back. I was trying to share with you that when you know someone has gone through the same situation, it means a lot more. Now, when I go through a viewing where it is someone's father, I'll shake their hand and saying, God bless you, I understand, and move on. Maybe add a few more words. And there's different times as I shake hands and I say that, they'll say, that's right, you lost your father through cancer 6 years ago or whatever, number of years back. There's a connection. Understand that? So it is with Jesus Christ. Why not turn to the one that has gone through anything that you're faced with? And there also is no temptation that is taking you that is common to man. Your temptations are no different than other people's temptations. And he's not going to let any temptation come into your life that you're not able to be victorious in. He protects his people. He's not up there looking down on you and saying, I'm just going to give him a bunch of temptations. Maybe he'll fall. No, that's not how he allows Satan to tempt us. But he will not allow you to be tempted above something that you're not able to overcome by his power. Remember that. Some of you are faced with tremendous temptations. Maybe you're feeding on the wrong thing, listening to the wrong music or whatever. I got to learn to look at this side too, because it's not just them that maybe are faced with some of these things. It's you sisters as well. That blesses my heart to know that my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, understands everything about me. God does too. He knew that this morning when I put my comb through my hair and a hair came out, that I'm one less. And it's happening pretty fast. It's coming out. The other day I was driving down the road and I hit a bird. I told you I don't know if I could shoot a deer. But that bird, I looked in my mirror, is doing this on the road. I felt sorry for the bird. And it reminded me that God knew about that bird. And if he takes interest in that bird, how much more does he take an interest in you? You can't hide anything from God. We're going to be faced with judgment. But as a child of God, judgment should not create any fear in your heart whatsoever. If everything is taken care of and you're at peace with God, when the subject of the judgment comes up, or death, I can't say that I'm totally, when it comes to thinking of death, that, oh yeah, it's just okay. The uncertainty of it all is because I never went that way before. It never happened to me yet. But as we face death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This same Jesus that was tempted in all points as we were, as we are, is going to be taking us through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even through the valley of death. Closing thought. What we believe, and I need to say this, I had told you before that everything I have on my outlines is homemade between God and I. This one is not. I found this statement somewhere, and there was no name attached to it, so I want to do not let you under the impression that this is my own statement. What we believe about the future will determine how we live in the present. What we believe about the future of heaven or hell will determine how we live in the present. One of the reasons that we have such, or that at times, let me start over, the reason that some people are living a lukewarm Christianity life is because they do not really believe in the reality of heaven and hell. If you understand the two places where man is going to go, and I'm not just a Christian so that I can be saved out of hell and into heaven, I'm a Christian today because of more than that. Yes, I do not want to end up in hell, and I want to experience heaven. But that is not my motive to have an escape route only. It's because I see the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His life. He freely gave it so that I can live for Him. And be when you see that picture, the Christian life is not a have-to anymore. It becomes a want-to. Because you get a grip or a reality of His love for you. And you in return have nothing that you want to do more, and that is to return your love back to Him. And that's the desire of my heart personally. Is that my love for the Lord Jesus Christ supersedes anything in my walk with Him. What we believe about the future will determine how we live in the present. Reading our scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, begin reading at verse 12. Again, if any of you would like and have memorized this and would like to share it, with me sometime, you're welcome to do that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That pertains, I realize this was for Timothy, referring back to his childhood, but I want you to know as you leave this Bible school, I am encouraging you to continue in the things which thou hast learned, which you have heard here this week, and all the preaching, the teaching, the songs, the words of encouragement, the words of challenge. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.